And if you will, please, I want you to turn in your Bible to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. We've been studying this section of God's Word now for a number of months, and tonight it brings us to chapter number 10, which incidentally is a glorious chapter indeed, 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. Notice the reading, if you would, please, verses 1 through 10. The Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth them his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Amen. How precious those words are. How precious the 10th chapter of John is. Keep in mind that John's purpose in writing this gospel and in writing this book is to portray Jesus as the Son of God. Remember, one of the last verses in John's gospel is, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Prior to that, he said there are a lot of things that Jesus did that are not in this gospel. They were not recorded, but these that are recorded, they are written that you might believe. The whole purpose in John's gospel is to get folks to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. John's emphasis throughout will be the deity of Jesus Christ. I do not know of another book in the New Testament that treats the deity of Christ in such detail as John the Apostle. Matthew treats him as the King of the Jews. Luke treats him as the Son of Man. Mark presents him in a different light, but John presents him as the Son of God, the deity of Jesus Christ. And we've seen this in the chapters that we have studied, church. In chapter number 1, he speaks of Jesus Christ as the Word of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Do you remember in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." When we got into chapter 2, we saw Jesus turning the water into wine. And in that second chapter, verse 11, it says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Purpose of the gospel is that people might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter number 3, Jesus told Nicodemus that God would send forth his Son into the world to save his people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In chapter number 4, he revealed the thoughts and contents in the heart of the woman by the well. And he then revealed himself to her as the Messiah. And she left that well and went running into the city saying, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Every one of these chapters speak of the deity and the glory of the Lord Jesus. In chapter number 5, he exercised divine power by healing the man by the pool of Bethesda. He simply said, "Take up your bed and walk." In chapter 6, Jesus claimed to be the bread that came down from heaven. Remember in verse 35, he said, "I am the bread of life." In chapter number 7, Jesus said in verse 33, "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me," teaching that Jesus Christ was sent by the Father to come into this world. And then chapter number 8, he said in verse 54, "It is my Father that honoreth me," calling God his Father. That's deity. And in chapter number 9, the blind man said to Christ, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Amen. That is, the blind man worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us tonight to chapter number 10. It's perhaps the most beautiful chapter in John's gospel because it speaks of Christ as shepherd and believers as sheep. This portrait has been loved by all Christians down through the ages. And I've entitled this chapter as Jesus, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. The scriptures support this title. Is it not said in Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In Psalm 100, verse number 3, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." In Isaiah 40, verse number 11, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." In Mark 6:34, "And you shall all be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered." So the Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd. And you and I, if we've been saved by the grace of God, we are the sheep of his pasture. Such an endearment, an endearing relationship there. John calls him the Good Shepherd. Hebrews calls him the Great Shepherd. Peter calls him the Chief Shepherd. He is the shepherd. Now, there are items to study in John 10. I would give you this outline. Number 1, the parable of the sheepfold is found in verses 1 through 10. See, he starts off by saying, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold." And that goes on down through verse number 10, the parable of the sheepfold. The second thing is the personality of the shepherd. That begins with verse 11 and goes on down for a few verses. In verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." What kind of a shepherd is he? And then in the third place, the personality of the sheep. In verses 26 through verse number 30, verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." And then you have finally the protest of the goats. Now, sheep, they can sometimes let you know if they don't like a thing. But I tell you, dear friends, they don't hold a light to a goat. A goat can let you know pretty quick that he doesn't like certain things. And you always have the goats protesting in verses 31 and 39. Verse 31 says the Jews took up stones again to stone him. In verse 39, "Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand." And then in verses 40 through 42, give the conclusion of this great 10th chapter of John. Well, if we went no further, you would have something that would keep you studying for the rest of the week, wouldn't you? Titles of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is an interesting study within itself. The many different titles that are given to the Lord. I believe Fred Sanford had a son and he called him Dummy. That was a title he gave him. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ bears these titles. The Advocate in 1 John 2:1. The Branch in Jeremiah 23:5. The Cornerstone in Ephesians 2:20. The Deliverer in Romans 11:26. The Eternal Father in Isaiah 9:6. He is the Forerunner in Hebrews 6:20. He is the Guardian of our souls in 1 Peter 2:25. He is the Head of the Church, Colossians 1:18. He is the I Am in John 8:58. He is the Jesus of salvation, Matthew 1:21. He is the King of Kings in 1 Timothy 6:15. He's the Lamb of God in John 1:29. He's the Morning Star, Revelation 22:16. He is the name above all names in Philippians 2:9. He's the only begotten Son of God in John 3:16. He is the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6. He's the Quickening One in Ephesians 2, verse 1. He's the Resurrection and the Life in John 11:25. He's the Son of God in Luke 1:35. He's the True God in 1 John 5:20. And He's the Unlimited Power of God in Matthew 28:18. He is described as the Vine in John 15:1. And He is also called the Word of Life in 1 John 1:1. You go from A all the way down to W in all of these titles. It leaves me to say one other thing. He is my XYZ. He is my Alpha and He is my Omega. He is my beginning and His end. Perhaps His most endearing title would be, He is the Shepherd. If we could just come to grips with that tonight. I know He is our Savior. I know He is our Lord. I know He is our King. But He is our Shepherd. Not everybody can be a shepherd. And not just those who have sheep are actually shepherds. A shepherd is a man who has a shepherd's heart and knows how to love sheep and knows how to care for sheep and sometimes knows how to discipline sheep. He is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's very quickly look at the first section of this part of John chapter number 10. The parable of the sheepfold. It's verses 1 through 10. First thing I want to say that it is a difficult parable. Now, preacher, why would you say it's a difficult parable? Well, you read verse 6, and this is what that says. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which He spake unto them. When Christ said these things, they begin to scratch their heads and look to one another and say, what in the world is He talking about? That is misunderstanding. They had a difficult, difficult time understanding the parable. You see, if you're a cute Bible study student, several questions must be answered. Number one, what is the sheepfold? Did you see that revealed in verse 1? Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. You enter from one place to another and it's called a sheepfold. What is the sheepfold? Some say it is the world. Some say it has to do with our physical birth, that every human being comes into the sheepfold as a human being when they are physically born. Some say it is the church. They enter into the sheepfold by being baptized. Some say it is Israel. Some believe that you enter into the sheepfold by becoming a Jew. And then some say it is heaven. The sheepfold refers to the final abode of the righteous. We want to answer that question tonight. What is the sheepfold? Another question is raised. Who are the sheep? Look at verse number 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Who are these sheep? And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Who are the sheep? Some say it refers to everybody, that everybody will go to heaven. Some say it's just for all believers in Christ. And some restrict it to saying it's just those who are Jews or chosen Israel. Then you come to a classic one. In verse number 3, who is the porter? To him the porter openeth. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth him out. Who is the porter? It is the Greek word thuropos, and it means watcher or security guard. Somebody's watching those sheep. Somebody acts as a security guard over those sheep. And you've got to get clearance through him before you can have access to the sheep. Who's the porter? Let me give you another question. Who are the thieves and the robbers? In verse 1, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. What's he talking about? To whom is he referring? And even it gets better. How can Jesus be both shepherd and door at the same time? Look at verses 2 through 3. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. The sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep and leadeth them out. The shepherd enters through the door by the permission of the porter. However, in verse number 7, it says that the shepherd is the door. Then said Jesus unto them, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. It's a difficult parable, my dear friends. Now, to understand this parable, there are two observations that ought to be made in this matter of understanding. The context of the story, chapter 9 of John, verse 41, reads this way, Jesus said unto them, and you need to know who's he talking to. He said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin, but now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. And it continues into chapter 10, verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Still talking to the same people that he was talking to in verse 41 of chapter 9. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. You know, when a chapter ends a thought or a story, the beginning of the next chapter will begin with something like this, and Jesus passed by, or on the next day, or after this. But that's not the case here. What we read in the opening verses of chapter 10 are tied into chapter 9, namely the man born blind whom Jesus healed. Our Lord is talking to the blind Pharisees in chapter 9, verse 40, and he's still talking to the blind Pharisees in chapter 10, verse 1. If that be so, then the thieves and the robbers are the Pharisees who were false shepherds, who would proselyte God's sheep with error, and they would get to the sheep or get the sheep to follow them. There are two sheepfolds. Two sheepfolds. The first sheepfold is talked about in verse number 1. Verily I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, the shepherd enters the door to where the sheep are. And the second sheepfold is mentioned in verse 7. And in that verse, the shepherd is the door. I want you to carefully listen to what I have to say. The first sheepfold was public and was located in the cities and the villages. Most any city in Palestine would have a sheepfold. This is where the shepherds and their sheep, they would have a place to leave their sheep while they took care of some other business, and then they would come back. But it was located in cities and in villages. It was an enclosure large enough to care for several flocks of sheep. One shepherd would come in with his sheep, and they had a compartment for them. They had an area just for that shepherd's sheep. Another shepherd would come in with his sheep, and he would put his sheep in a different enclosure. Once the shepherds had placed their sheep therein, a porter was hired to guard the door for the safety of the sheep. And the shepherds would leave. Upon returning the next morning, the shepherd would knock on the door, and when identified, the porter would let that shepherd in, and he would call his own sheep by name and lead them out to pasture. You see, he had a sheepfold of a whole lot of sheep, but they didn't all belong to him. But he knew his sheep, and when he called his sheep by name, they would come out and follow him. Thus did all of the shepherds. The porter is a type, I believe this, of the Holy Spirit, who guards the sheep until the shepherd returns. The shepherd is not here today. Our shepherd is in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit is here today to guard the sheep and keep us from the thugs and the robbers and the thieves and those who would break in to steal us and do us hurt. He guards the sheep until the shepherd returns and gathers them up for himself. And following the teaching of this, when our Lord comes back, we know that he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, but he's going to start calling his sheep. And when he calls his sheep by name, one by one by one, all of his sheep, my dear friends, down through the ages, will be called up to meet him in the air. Now, that's one sheepfold. A second sheepfold was private and located out in the wilderness on the hillsides of the mountains. Let me give you a classic example of that, one you should be very familiar with. In Luke chapter number 2, verses 8 through 11, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And in verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now, nothing said about the sheep there, but you can rest assured that when the shepherds headed out for Bethlehem, they took their sheep with them. Now, the point being is that they had a sheepfold out there in the wilderness. They had a sheepfold out there on the mountainside. This is one reason why we know that Christmas and the birth of Jesus did not happen in December the 25th. Because in Palestine, December the 25th is a very cold, treacherous cold month. And you will not find shepherds on a hillside keeping their sheep at night. You'll find them in town taking advantage of the city sheepfolds. But nonetheless, you have this second sheepfold. There was no building involved. It was either enclosed by rocks or in a circle or thorn bush in a circle with small opening to pass through. When the shepherd wanted to rest the sheep for the night, he would enter the cove first. And each sheep would follow, because sheep follow the shepherd. He would go into this little cove first, and each sheep would follow. He would then circle back to the opening and lay down in front of it to keep wild animals out. In other words, they'd have to kill the shepherd to get to the sheep. The shepherd is called the door because he leads them in. He does not lead them out. He leads them in. The benefits of the parable in verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Reflects on what he said in verse 1. Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Herein, you have Christianity versus religion. Every religion has its happy hunting ground. Every religion has its place out there somewhere that you're going to be happier than you were ever on this earth. Some call it Mecca. The Indian call it happy hunting ground. But religion after religion after religion all over the world has a plan whereby that those who follow that religion, when they die, then they go to this place, a celestial city. Christianity says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. There's no way in this world for people to be saved apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Say, well, what about all of these respectable religions today? They are thieves and they are robbers because they will not come to the door. They try to climb up some other way. Now, they do not necessarily have to be agnostic. I believe there's some Baptist thieves and robbers today that have gotten away from Jesus Christ as the only way to be saved. Thieves and robbers. When a leading evangelist of the United States said, rather recently, that he believed that God had another way for folk to be saved if they didn't hear the gospel. He's looked on by our nation as the greatest evangelist of our day and time. I'm here to tell you, he's a thief and he's a robber. Now, the benefits of this parable, again in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, if any man shall enter in, he's going to be saved. He'll go in and out and find pasture. What are the benefits of the parable? Number one, there's only one door, which is Christ. He's the door. Number two, man must enter it to be saved. Number three, any man may enter. What do you mean? What about election? I said any man may enter. I believe that God permits all men to enter, but all men don't have the ability to enter, therefore they do not want to enter. That's not God's fault that they don't want to enter. They're the children of Adam who fell in the Garden of Eden, and they'd rather not go the Bible route. They'd rather not go the Christian route. They'd rather not be saved and they don't want to be saved. Sometimes people take what we believe and they blow it out of context. Not too long, someone said, "You folks over there at that church, what you believe is a lot of people want to be saved, but God won't give them an opportunity." Now, my dear friends, let me tell you this. If God didn't do something to save you and to me and the elect that are saved, wouldn't anybody be saved to start off with? Because I didn't want to be saved when the Lord saved me. I repeat that. I did not want to be saved when the Lord saved me. My whole life was in rebellion against God. But somehow or another, God did something in me. And when I came to Christ, it was His doing. But I didn't have to drag my feet. He didn't have to twist my arm. I'm saying that if people want to be saved, let them come to Christ. Nobody's twisting anybody's arm tonight to stay home. Did you know that? These pews are empty tonight because the people love to have it so. Nobody's forcing anybody. Get the idea sometimes that maybe God wants to do something and He just arbitrarily says, "Well, I made my mind up. You can't be saved. Doesn't make any difference what you do." You don't find that in the Bible. "He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved." Why don't you believe? Why don't you trust? Why don't you come? If a man's really interested, why didn't he come to church? I mean, if he's really interested, why didn't he come to? Why didn't he get him a Bible? Why didn't he read his Bible? I tell you why. He's not interested. Not interested. "Any man, whosoever may enter," that is absolutely true. Permission is given. But that is not the same thing as ability to. And salvation is certain for those who do enter. Now, we're going to stop there because we get into that section of the Scripture that deals with the personality of the shepherd. And we'll pick up with verse number 11 and go on from there at our next time. Let's stand, please, and we'll